Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, January 22nd, 2013, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-host, Lavendar. Anastasia can't be with us tonight, so we will be introducing our guest in just a few minutes. Our featured guest this evening is Lori Spagna, and I hope I've pronounced that right. We'll find out in a minute. Okay, Lori, who's an intuitive animal communicator and healer, author, visionary, and lightworker. Her life was radically transformed after a series of near-death experiences while living in Maui. Her upcoming book is called 2 Years in Maui, and she was featured in the soon-to-be-released HBO movie Animals in the Afterlife. With over 20 years serving humans and animals, she's an internationally recognized expert, speaker, and author, providing workshops and seminars to help us improve our lives by learning from animals. She's graciously offered to do live pet and people readings this evening for our listeners, so call 917-889-8292 if you have questions. And I do want to mention that Blog Talk is having some technical difficulties on some call-in numbers, so we just hope that that doesn't include ours. So two of Lori's websites are lorispagna.com, and that's LoriSpagna.com, and I don't know how to pronounce this. It looks like Efil's God, but it's Dog's Life Backwards, and she'll be talking about that. And it's spelled EFILSGOD.com, EFILSGOD.com. We'd like to thank Chris and Fiona for hosting our switchboard this evening, and you're welcome to call in with questions or comments for Lori. Once again, the number to dial is 917-889-8292. And remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. We invite you to click the follow icon on our Blog Talk show page so you'll know about our upcoming shows, and it also helps to promote our work and our guests. If you're new to our show, our main site is starseedhotline.com, where we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge, and the entire site has been coded for Starseed activation. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. And we'd like to thank Rose, Chris, Anastasia, and Tammy for their continuing great work and dedication on behalf of our Starseed forum. And you can also find us on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. And we'll get started in just a moment, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. Our Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings in your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. If you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by getting your solar return timing. And please allow 2 weeks ahead of time to make sure that you do get it in time. And now I'd like to introduce my co-host, Lavendar.
Oh, hello, Arielle. And hey. I just am thrilled to have Lori on. I spoke with her at length today and did her chart. And, oh, is she so starseed. So is she on the line?
Well, the line is really kind of filling up already. So I think, she just got on the line. She's in the screen room, so she'll be out in just a second. And we do have a lot of callers that are going to be joining us this evening, and Lori will be working with you as well as telling her story. And Lavendar, do you want to tell us a little bit about the Crystal Quest while we're waiting?
Well, yes. We are offering, I don't have the dates in front of me, how about that?
April 28th.
May 12th. April 28th and May 12th, we have 2 dates where we're taking 27 people to Arkansas, to Hot Springs, Arkansas. And if you have star markings in your chart, and if you have not received an invitation from me and you're interested in going, then please email us at
crystals@starseedhotline.com
and see if there is an opening for you. So I just want to say that last year in October, we had some incredible experiences with the 27 people that went with us, and it was so successful that we decided to do two sessions, one in April and then one in May. So if you're interested, please let us know.
Okay. Well, we are ready to introduce Lori Spagna. And Lori, did I say that correctly?
Yes, you did. Hi.
Hello. Welcome.
Hello.
To the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, we're so glad to have you, and I think a lot of other people are too, because we've already got the switchboard filling up with people, I think, waiting to talk to you.
Super.
But I'm going to turn this interview over to Levendar for right now, and I'll be joining you in a little bit.
Okay.
Well, hey, girlfriend. We had such a good time this afternoon talking about your chart, and I just really enjoyed the connection, and I hope that in the future that we may be doing work together. So,
hey,
welcome.
Levendar. You know, I just want to, if I can, just give you a plug. And that was so stellar. That was just such an amazing reading. And for anyone who's listening, go for it. If you've been considering a session with Levendar, this is unsolicited. It was fabulous. Really amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. And it
was
so easy talking with you, because when I saw how many star markings you had and I saw the electromagnetic connection that you had with celestial beings, and it was just so natural talking to you. You know, I love to have sessions with people like you.
Oh, thank you.
It's effortless.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, the thing is, when you have a reading like that, if I just say one more thing to people who are considering it, it's almost like, you know, when I got on the phone with you, I knew within 10 seconds that you were a person who could really understand me. And for lightworkers and starseeds like us, you know, a lot of us are kind of looking for somebody to just be like, oh, I get you. And that is absolutely what you gave me right from the get-go. I was just, it was awesome. So
thanks.
Yeah.
I feel like that you're going to be very famous really soon all over the world. And so we're really happy that we can help launch you in any way that we can, because after seeing your chart and your transits and seeing what you're about, I just know that you're going to go global really quick.
Looking forward to that.
Tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to know what you know about animal communication.
Well, the thing for me really is I was one of those people who was just sort of growing up in mainstream America, sitting behind a desk out of college for 20 years, and I was really dying a slow death. A painful one. And during the course of those 20 years after college, I basically became a person who was 65 pounds overweight, excessively drinking, excessively overdosed on pharmaceutical drugs, which are really a dark side's agenda to really basically wipe off people and living beings. I was excessively dosed up on alcohol, pharmaceuticals, caffeine, nicotine, just all of it. I had found myself almost $150,000 in debt. And then during that time, I would sort of take my weekends and my vacations to do what I loved, which was to work with animals all over the world, you know, mostly in volunteer capacities. And then, you know, my mantra during those times, during those 20 years, like at the end of every night, 11 o'clock at night, I'd be sitting behind my desk crying, thinking, this is not what I came here for. How do I step into being of service to animals on a global scale? That was my mantra, and I almost said that every day for a really long time, like almost 20 years. Like, how do I be of service to animals on a global scale? And then one day, pretty much out of the blue, almost unexpectedly, not entirely, but my brother died, and it was at that point I realized that I was next in line, and I really started to realize that he was basically in my ear saying, you know, follow me, I'm going to show you the way out. And also he was saying, help me find my way out, because he was sort of stuck in between dimensions, so to speak. And that was really what happened. So after that, I just went to Maui for 2 years. I kind of jumped off the deep end without a safety net, really, and went to Maui alone for 2 years without the safety net and went through this radical transformation. That's really my story in a nutshell.
So while you were in Maui, did you have experiences, near-death experiences, or did you have something maybe where you felt like a walk-in had come to teach you and help you?
Yeah, well, effectively what happened for me was I started doing a lot of metaphysical practices, not really with any teachers. I would just sort of do what I could to get into these altered states. And then at some point I did find these teachers. But while I was doing that, I would meditate myself to sleep every night. And I lived on this this golf course. And I would sit, before sleep, I would sit on my back porch looking up at all the ETs, the starships there. There's tons of them in Maui. And I would connect with them. And so when I would go to sleep and meditate myself to sleep, I would have a lot of connections that way. And then I remember lots of nights where I was just literally having these downloaded programs, much like if you were a computer and you could see, you know, if you could see on an old computer screen how when a program gets downloaded to it, it just starts going zipping on the screen. I would have that in my mind happening, and I would ask, what is this? And I didn't always know what it was then, but I always heard, you'll know when the time comes. And so anyway, there was that aspect of it, and then there was this other aspect of getting into all of these sort of metaphysical practices to really allow myself to fully and completely still my mind, my feelings, my emotions, my energy of my body, my physical body, still to the point of being completely conscious with absolutely no thought, no movement, nothing. And in that experience, you really can allow your, I mean, it's not something to be, you know, practice blindly like I did it. I ran into a kind of a lot of trouble along the way. But anyway, that's that practice where you're literally connecting with these other realms, allowing the physical body to do what we would call die, essentially.
What is your role as a light worker, and how are animals functioning as light workers?
Well, my role, actually, if you were to go to my website, you would probably see someone who looks pretty mainstream, actually. My role is actually to facilitate awakening for the masses and to speak to them in the language that masses can understand. So I might use the word lightworker, but a lot of this stuff I sort of make it in a way that it doesn't seem so out there. It's much easier for them to receive and understand into their current paradigm. That's my role, but it's specifically targeted at people who are animal lovers. That's just the people that I speak with. So the role of the animals is really that they're facilitating consciousness for the planet. They're facilitating awakening for animal lovers, and I'm one of their so-called, I guess you could call me one of their tools that they're using, one of their people to help them facilitate awakening and consciousness based on what they know and are ready to share with us, which is mostly has to do with the language of energy, which is really the future language of all sentient beings. I mean, it's the future language for people on Earth. It's the current language for all sentient beings, really.
How did you first discover that you could communicate with animals? Was this early on in your life that this started happening, or did it happen while you were in Maui?
Well, I always knew that I could, but I didn't always knew that it was anything unique or any kind of gift or talent. I just knew it. And I remember growing up, my father would always say things like, oh, you're always talking to those horses, those imaginary horses, and you're always, you know, hanging out with the animals. And I didn't think it was anything unique, really. So it wasn't really until Maui that I realized this was a tremendous gift and that this was a gift I was meant to share with others. Because everybody, as we all know here, everybody has these gifts and can access them, but not everybody knows how.
That's true.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about how does the animal communication work, and what is the scientific evidence that supports it?
Well, the thing is that what we're waking up to with this shift and this awakening on the planet is that we can now explain things scientifically. And, of course, you know, if you listen to some of the archives of this Starseed Radio Academy, you can hear it in the archives. Things that you predicted are coming true, that science is able to explain this. So what we know with respect to animal communication, for example, and telepathy, now that we can explain, is we have a left brain and a right brain, and the left brain is what most humans are operating from. We're primarily left brain beings, but the rest of the animals on the planet, the non-human animals, are predominantly right-brained, or else if they're really advanced beings like whales and dolphins, they tend to be more balanced in terms of their left and right brain usage. And so when we learn to tune into the right brain's awareness, see, the right brain already knows what the left brain's trying to figure out. And so that's part of it. That's part of how we can explain it scientifically. And then beyond that, we know that we have many brain waves, and that there's a theta brain wave that all sentient beings have, and that theta brain wave is what allows telepathy and also what allows us to connect to a universal intelligence. And so when we learn how to access that theta brain wave, which is actually quite simple, we can all practice and, you know, practice and uncover our gifts to have this telepathic dialogue with animals and other living beings. And then beyond that, we also know we have glands and organs in our body, like the thymus gland, which is a sensory gland, and the pineal pituitary glands. Those are sensory glands in our body that allow us to sense information empathically. And then, of course, there's the skin, which now science knows we can hear through our skin, and we can feel through our skin, we can eat through our skin, and that skin is a membrane for communication. So when we learn how to use these parts of our bodies, that's really part of tapping into these gifts that we all have.
That makes me smile when you say that, because I have this condition where if I don't have my contacts in, I can't hear.
That's so funny. Now, why is that? What do you think that is? Do you think that's...
I have no idea.
See, I think that's some kind of program.
My contacts are in, I can hear. And when they're not, I don't hear very well. It's just crazy. It's been this way. Well, I've been struck by lightning, so anything's possible.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
now,
that's probably some
the
kind of program going
of
on.
Animals. What do you know about animals in the afterlife? Do they come back as the same species? Do they cross over and stay with their families? Or what do you know about the afterlife?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different information about this. And so other people might not necessarily be in 100% agreement with me on this. However, what I've come to learn is that animals typically stay in soul groups just the way humans do, and they tend to move around within their soul groups, and that they come here as healers to their humans. They also come as teachers to their humans. So energetically, they're healing their humans. They're teaching their humans about behaviors and attitudes and ideas and experiences that the human needs to learn with and from. And they're also just general companions who give and receive love and teach us more about that as well, demonstrating that for us. And so they in the afterlife, they might come back to their same soul family group and reincarnate within the same family or within the same soul group of a human that they might have lived with. But the real thing with the afterlife part is that animals, they teach us a lot about death because they have shorter lifespans than us, obviously. So we learn about transformation of the physical body with the animals that we're deeply bonded with. And we can reconnect with them. That's part of the beauty of the shift, because as we become conscious, we can connect with them. We can sort of say to them, all right, I want to meet up with you again. And I want you to, you know, when you're ready to come back, I want us to live together again. Are you okay with that? And they can be in agreement with it. And it's almost like if you and I were to get in a conversation and say, all right, meet me at that coffee shop at that time. I'll be wearing a red dress and you'll be wearing a blue dress and we'll just connect there. That kind of thing is possible for us now, especially with the shift, because we can connect with these animals who have crossed and in ways that we never thought before. So that's part of the whole animals in the afterlife part two. They're teaching us all about that. And there's so much more to it. I mean, it's such an in-depth conversation in and of itself, but I hope that sort of summarizes a big chunk of it.
Okay, good. Can you give us some real-life examples of animal communication that you've had?
Well, one of my favorite examples is where I met with this horse. This is when I was in Maui, actually. I had connected with a human who had this horse, and the horse was on another island. The horse was on, I think it was Oahu. So I never met the horse in person, and I never met the human in person. And I was only working with a picture, and I was very new at that time at really practicing animal communication in a way that was more like professional, beyond just fun and play. And I connect with this animal, and I'm just connecting with the consciousness of the animal, and all I keep hearing is, go below the knee, go below the knee. And I couldn't understand what that meant, go below the knee. And I'd ask, like, for more information, and I just hear, I'm stumped. And I thought that was me thinking that I was stumped. I thought that was my information, like my thoughts. So anyway, I reconnected with the human after that, and I said, you know, I'm not really getting a whole lot. I just keep hearing go below the knee, and I guess I'm stumped on this. And she's like, no, we had to amputate below the knee. And I'm like, okay, don't tell me anything else. Let me go back, because obviously there was something here, and that was the big message I had to get at first. So I go back to the animal, reconnect with the animal, and this is what I hear from this horse. There's bad people around me. They want to kill me. Tell them to go away. I want to live. And, oh, by the way, I want some carrots. So I go back to the human and give this information to the human, and the human's like, yes, that's exactly. We were trying to decide whether we should euthanize this horse who's missing a lower, you know, limb here and below the knee, and we're going to get the horse a prosthetic now. And so that's what they did, and then the horse obviously, you know, went on to live and is still, to the best of my knowledge, is still alive and living a happy life. So that's a really profound connection, you know, experience there. But there's countless ones like that. I could go on.
So of all the species, what's the easiest for you to communicate with? Is it horses?
Well, I don't know if I would say by species, actually, because they're really all very easy to communicate with. I wouldn't say it necessarily by species. I would say it's more about energy. So I can communicate very clearly with almost any animal if I'm in a good state, clear state of energy, because obviously that's always a factor, and if they're willing to trust me, which that sometimes requires, you know, if it's an animal who's been abused or an animal who's been neglected or has been through a lot of trauma and drama, there's a little bit more time it might take for them to let some of their boundaries or their own personal issues, you know, to move into a state of trust. So it's more like that. If the animal's really not dealt with a lot of trauma or drama in their life, it's the connection's instant, so fast, so easy. And if they're more dealing with their own life challenges, then there's more trust to build. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. What do you think their role is in the planetary shift of consciousness?
Oh, you mean animals?
Yes. What is their role?
They're really teaching us. They're providing us with opportunities to learn and grow and step into our power. They're really aware of what we're not, because they're already naturally in a state of doing telepathy. They're already naturally tuned into energy. They're so tuned into energy. And it's us humans who have to learn this. So a huge part of this whole shift of consciousness, this moving into this golden age that we talk about, is really about us changing our vibration, our frequency, and following all the different tools and breadcrumbs that Source, Creator, the universe, even the galactic field has laid for us. And the animals are just one vehicle that Source has provided. I call it Source, Creator, God, the universe, the divine, has really laid out for us. Those of us who are animal lovers, because the truth is, the people who are real animal lovers, really, we will do anything for our animals. And because of that, that's a way for Source to work through them, to wake us up. So if we'll do anything for our animals, because our animals, say, let's say our animals are sick or stressed out or dealing with issues, whatever, and we're willing to do anything for our animals, even if it means that we are the ones who have to transform ourselves so that our animals get healthy, that's a way for Source to wake us up. And so the animal's role in that way is that they are basically a channel for Source to do its work in the awakening. The thing is that animals are really pretty conscious about this. They, for the most part, they know that they're doing this. Even if they might not be walking around in their everyday thoughts thinking, hey, I'm here to wake up my human, hey, I'm here to wake up the planet Earth, they have that awareness on some level. And that's what they're doing. So that's what their role is. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. On the list of questions you gave me, you were talking about the dormant DNA and RNA codes. Tell us a little bit about what you know about them and why are they important?
Well, here's such amazing thing. I was listening to your one of your recordings about the Palladian lineup. I think that was where it was. And in that Palladian lineup, which the recording was 2010, one of the things you said, Lavendar, was that the scientists were going to begin to wake up to the fact that these dormant DNA strands are actually have value. And that's what's been happening this year. So the thing is I recently in my newsletter had been sending out a lot of information about how these Russian scientists are now starting to study the dormant DNA and realize that they're not junk and that this dormant DNA actually has incredible potential, and they don't know yet what that potential is, but now they're going to be pursuing that. And also that they realize that these dormant DNA could be activated through a combination of thought, intention, and I don't know if they use the word energy or if they use the word vibration, but in an, essentially that's what these articles were saying, and I highlighted them in my newsletter. So you indeed were correct about that when you said that in 2010. But that said, these dormant DNA are really, they're just they're waiting to be unlocked, and the real code, as I understand it, that unlocks them is the code of compassion. And so this code of compassion is what gets ignited on planet Earth every time we see one of these or we experience one of these kinds of physical Earth, you know, traumas that are going on, like tsunamis and earthquakes and all the kinds of things we're witnessing on planet Earth. What that does to the mainstream people is that ignites their compassion. And the compassion gene is what they need to wake up the rest of the dormant DNA. And these other dormant DNA can actively be turned on through the use of energy and through this process of accessing a theta brainwave and instructing it to turn on. And that's what I do. And we can do it for, you know, animals have it, and so do non-human animals. The human animals and the non-human animals, we all have that. And when we activate these, that's when we're really unlocking these incredibly potent, powerful gifts that we have, like telepathy. I mean, that's just the beginning. What I see is, you know, when you get into the real activations, you're going to be looking, and I don't know when this happens, and I'm sure you can tune in and see what you receive on this, but, you know, you're going to see humans flying with human bodies. That kind of stuff is in our future. Of course, you know, we're also talking about time travel and space travel and all those kinds of things as well, you know. So that's what lies beyond activating all these strands. But right now, most lightworkers and starseeds are just beginning to play in this field. We have to do it a little bit at a time because it's so powerful.
Well, yes, it is. And I know that our animals are here to teach us many things. And I would like to go now to things that you might know about how animals react to earth changes and tsunamis. And do you have any stories that you can relate to us about something that relates to how they know ahead of time?
Wow. Well, of course, I mean, one of the best guidances for that, I think, typically, especially if you're talking about tsunamis, tends to be animals with, you know, water. The whales and the dolphins are so tuned into that stuff. And, of course, they're really leaders in the healing of planet Earth and in the ascension process. I mean, they're very fully conscious beings. They're divine messengers, essentially, here, right, from other planets put here to facilitate our awakening on this planet. And they are tuned into that energetically through the telepathy that they practice and through their sonar communication. But really, I mean, even if you think there are so many fantastic and amazing stories on the Internet that you could Google that talk about even that big tsunami that happened over in the Middle East a few years ago. Southeast Asia, and the tsunami there, and how the animals all ran uphill, like the elephants there. They ran uphill to higher level ground before the tsunami really, really hit. So they were already tuned in energetically, these elephants. And, you know, this is one of the beautiful things, that if we're tuned into our animals, we can actually... I mean, can you imagine if people were really tuned into the elephants and they start to ask, why are you running uphill? And they receive the information just following me, or safety, or water rising coming, get uphill, some kind of communication like that. The elephants would gladly share that information, and then the humans could follow suit. But this is a perfect example, because they were tuned in to that coming. And, of course, animals are tuned into this kind of stuff energetically. In fact, just recently, I noticed in my house, I felt a very subtle earthquake. I was in Los Angeles. I didn't check to see if it was reported or anything, but I woke up to it. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning, and I looked at my dog, Kiko, and I could just see she just went into the state of, like, what's going on? And she could feel it, and I asked, like, what's going on? And she was like, I feel something. You know, so we can ask. They're tuned into it energetically.
You know, I heard something about a story. Maybe you know the story and can tell it. It was about a man who took care of elephants for many, many years. And when he died, elephants came from very far away and just stood outside his house. Did you hear about that story?
Yes, I know that story very well. In fact, that circulated a lot around the Internet. I can't recall his name, that gentleman, but that story came into my inbox probably 5 or 6 times. And that's just really just a perfect example of how the animals, and, you know, generally speaking, the elephants are ambassadors. They really are ambassadors to our awakening. That's just such a perfect example of how they are practicing telepathy and how they're tuned in, and they're teaching about, you know, this kind of loyalty and this kind of awareness and just that whole process of honoring living beings who are really contributing. Because that gentleman, who that person was, he had done so much for those elephants to contribute to the betterment of elephants. And so they just came to honor him, and that was part of their intention to really, you know, to really demonstrate that this the gift that they have, because of course that would make people say, wow, look what these elephants did. Like, can you believe what these elephants did? And then we would question it and learn more from them. So that was really their gift. And in fact, I have tuned into animals, like animals in SeaWorld, for example. And at one point last summer, I think it was over the summer, there was a whale in SeaWorld who had really had a huge gash in his lower, like, lip area under his mouth at SeaWorld, and they were trying to decide what to do for this whale. And I remember tuning in to him, and then at that same time checking in with other animals at some of the SeaWorlds. And what they were really saying was that they didn't really like their life there, but they recognized that that was their contribution, and that if they chose to leave, they could, but that they were choosing to stay, that was part of their mission, and that they had agreed to that. And, in fact, so many of the animals say this, you know.
Wow. Do you hear anything about the animals that are white, like the white wolf and the, you know, the white buffalo and white eagles? And have you heard about anything that connects all these white animals to anything metaphysical?
Well, only that they're sort of gateway keepers. I haven't really tuned into them directly, except just to know that in general, they're sort of gateway keepers when we're talking relatively speaking of a higher vibration. Because again, the word higher is just relatively speaking. So that they're actually gatekeepers of even, you know, a higher level of awareness, consciousness, and vibration for even other animals, and that they hold certain keys and codes to unlock other and facilitate other consciousness and awakening. That's all I really know about them specifically. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. What do you see that's coming ahead for us here on planet Earth with all these changes? Can you give us some insight to what you think is coming?
Well, it's so interesting because even you and I, you know, we were speaking about that today. And the one thing I absolutely know is we are now, whether people know it or not, they're manifesting in real time. And they're actualizing their experience in real time. And the biggest thing really that's coming is people stepping into that awareness beyond just a knowing of it. Like this year, I really think we're going to start seeing people really practicing it. in their life and applying the tools that come with this kind of awakening. And that as they do, this is going to really shift a lot. So a lot of the doomsday predictions that we've heard about, and people are still, you know, holding a lot of fear, energy of fear. Obviously, that's not gone just because 2012 is, you know, over. That a lot of that energy is going to be shifted, I believe. However, you know, the dramas and the traumas of Earth still need to play out to greater and lesser degrees to wake everybody up. And until people really choose to unplug, those kinds of things are going to continue. So the biggest thing I really see is, and that I absolutely know, is that more people are going to be stepping into their power and practicing this stuff. And that's the real gift, is how people start to utilize the tools and the gifts that we've been given.
What are some easy steps to be more effectively ready to communicate with animals, and how can humans begin communicating with their animal companions in a two-way dialogue immediately?
Well, you know, for your audience here is obviously, you know, most people on this who listen to this Starseed Radio Academy are already, you know, doing this in some way, shape, or form to greater or lesser degrees. But really, it's always about, you know, on the deepest level, it's really great if you can get into one of those kind of altered states and access a theta brainwave, or even if you're able to, a gamma brainwave. And, I mean, I teach people how to do this for people who don't know how to do it. But, and that really helps you to get into a real powerful direct connection where you can exchange information back and forth. But for people who just want to do it like in every day, and you just want to tune into your animal companion, and you don't always want to have to go into this altered state to facilitate this really deep connection, a great way is just to focus on images. If you're a visual person, you can easily pull an image up in your mind of something that you want to communicate to your animal and project that image towards the animal's consciousness. Or if you're, you know, if you want to receive something from your animal, like if you're asking your animal a question, even if you're doing it in a sound with a verbal question, they might not understand the words, but they definitely understand the energy behind the words, or the energy connected to the words. So you can just project or request a response to a question and ask that and just become empty to allow yourself to receive it and hear what you hear, see what you see, feel what you feel, notice what you notice. I mean, that's a very simple process right there. It just really doesn't take a whole lot. You see, the thing is that most humans, we put this energy of it's difficult or it's hard or I haven't been able to do it or it's not done, or, you know, we're busy in our physical world of all the to-dos and our big list, and that's the stuff that gets in the way. But actually it's quite effortless if we get ourselves out of the way and really just make ourselves empty. But beyond that, it's really just a matter of saying the words to the animal. Really, if there's something you want to tell an animal, you just say it in an energy of just, I'm expecting you to receive this. Here's the information I'd like you to have, and thank you for receiving it. But most humans, what we do is, you know, again, we're kind of in our world. That, why are you peeing on the floor? Why are you peeing on my bed? Or don't pull on the leash, or, you know, don't bite. Or, and that's got all kinds of energetic attachment to it. So it's just about separating from the push-pull. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that we have probably a lot of callers that are on the switchboard. Ariel, do we have a lot of people that have punched one on the switchboard to
Lori? Yes, we do.
Okay, why don't we just open up the lines and let our callers call in and talk to her?
Okay. Just to repeat, if you do have a question or a comment for Lori, you have to press 1 on your keypad so that we know that you want to come on and not just listening. So, first of all, we are going to be talking to Deb. Hello, Deb. You are on the air with Lori.
Hi, Deb.
Well, hello. Hi.
Hi.
Boy, great questions, Lavendar. I love all those questions. And thank you for all the answers, Lori. They were amazing.
Awesome. My pleasure.
Hey, I have a cat that I had to leave suddenly and go back to the mainland because my husband's father died. And we were gone for 3 weeks, and I got a house sitter, and I talked to him, you know, before we left and during the trip and everything. But when I got home, he still is, like, standoffish. And whenever I even go for a day, I always hook up and tell him I'll be back. But he's still kind of clingy and, you know, feels I'm going to abandon him.
Yeah. Okay. I already am receiving information on this, but just so I can verify, what is the name of your cat, Deb?
Loverboy.
Mm. Okay. And geographically, where are you located with this cat?
On the Big Island of Hawaii.
Okay, beautiful. So let me explain. Your cat Loverboy is highly sensitive, and the house sitter that you brought in, who was perfectly fine and responsible, actually had some, what I'm picking up is like sort of dark energy around this person. Not like this person's a bad person. I mean, we all have it. We go into the bank and we pick up someone's energy jumps out at us. You know, it's not like, and it's just if we don't really know how to clear it, it can hang out until it hops onto the next person or finds its next way. It's just like an energetic vampire. And this house sitter had a lot of that stuff hanging around this person. And so your cat Loverboy, who's highly sensitive, picked up on some of that, which is part of Loverboy's work as a healer, and now it's kind of hanging around him. So this is what I'm understanding and what I'm, you know, perceiving. So obviously you take this information and see if it resonates and check in. But, you know, in these short readings, that's what I'm picking up on. And so what you really need for Loverboy is to do some energy clearing, which is actually quite easy to do. You could just talk to Loverboy and say, who are the entities or energies in and around the field of this cat Loverboy? And then ask Loverboy, are you willing to tell them to go now with your free will? And you'll hear immediately in your head, you know, a yes. And then you just say to every energy and or entity that's in and around the field of Loverboy, with the power of our free will, we command you right now to leave. Go back to where you came from, or you can say, you can call in a light being, you know, who you trust, a high vibrational angel or healer, and ask them to open a portal for these dark energies and entities to go through into love and be transformed into love. But either way, with the power of your free will, you can command them to leave the field of Loverboy. That's really what's, as I'm understanding, that's what's needed right now.
Oh, wow.
And this will facilitate much better ease and grace for Loverboy in his life with you. He's quite content with his life with you. He just doesn't want any more of that stuff coming around.
Okay. Can I also allow him to be able to, like, if any of that comes near him again, that he doesn't have to take it on, just, you know, let him know that he has that free will to say, no, you aren't welcome here?
Yeah, you definitely can say that to him. However, you know, sometimes we have stuff going on in our unconscious programs, and my sense is that there's probably some unconscious programming in Loverboy. I mean, just like us, that, you know, we have degrees of consciousness and degrees of unconsciousness, right? And so it's a matter of clearing out some of the unconscious programs that would allow that. Because sometimes, you know, even with us as animal communicators and, you know, energy healers, we'll often tell our animals, oh, don't take that stuff on. But that's sort of like telling a diabetic, you know, don't go to McDonald's. We could say,
yeah,
okay, I'm not going to. But, you know, the next time, you know, or telling
a
smoker, don't smoke.
What I just got was, he's the one that adopted us, not the other way around.
Loverboy?
And I think he was abandoned before, so he brought a lot of these energies with him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's doing healing, and he's being healed as well. It's interactive. So if you rescued him, I mean, I didn't tune in and ask about that. I just asked what was going on with respect to your original question. But if you rescued him, this is one thing I absolutely know is true. With animals who are rescue animals and are taken into a home and a family that really loves them, that gives them the opportunity to heal safely, they typically do a karmic gift back to their human and do incredible lifelong healing for their human. So if that's what happened, I mean, you obviously are saying that's what happened. It obviously did. He's, of course, contracted on some level, contractually speaking, to do healing for you and for the people who come into his field. So I'm not asking for the house sitter's name. I mean, obviously, we could go a lot deeper, but I don't want to invade this house sitter's privacy, you know, by asking what his or her name was. I just know that that's involved with it as well.
Oh. So he might have been trying to help her heal also.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting.
Okay. So I can tell him that's fine, but he can let all that go now.
Yeah. And again, I mean, you might want to work with, I don't know if you do energy healing or if you work with an energy healer, but sometimes we have to change what's in the unconscious so that we really make the shift.
Right.
From stuff like that. Because I get that his role as a healer isn't something you can just tell him not to do.
Right. No, I understand. It's kind of like going into the subconscious.
Right. And also that his role as a healer, you want to caveat it in a way that still works for him and allows him to fulfill his mission. So in other words, he can be a healer and he doesn't have to take on that stuff, or he can be a more empowered healer that knows how to send that stuff away or transmute it into higher vibrational energy when it comes on to him. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, it totally makes sense.
Yeah.
I just got guidance.
He's not, as I'm tuning into Loverboy's energy, he's not wanting to relinquish his role as a healer cat. This is part of what gives him joy and happiness.
Yeah, that's where he got his name.
Right.
Because it does give him joy and happiness.
Exactly. So that's beautiful. What a lovely cat.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's been a blessing.
Yeah, they are. Aren't they all such blessings to us?
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
And you are an incredible blessing to all of us with animals.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I receive that.
You're welcome. And thank you for all the work you do around the world.
My pleasure.
Okay. Well, Deb, thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you.
We're going to move on to the next caller. And next we are talking to Debbie. Debbie, you're
Hi.
On the air with Lori.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm from Louisiana.
Wonderful.
I wanted to ask you about a cat that I'm helping. It's my mother's cat, actually. Miss Kitsy is the cat's name. And she has cancer, a tumor. And it spread a little bit, but she's maintaining it. I'm doing some herbal stuff. And but I would like her to do more than maintain. You know, I would like to know if you get anything from her.
What is your mom? Do you mind saying what your mom's name is?
No, my mom's name is Floy.
Flora?
Floy, like toy.
Oh, Floy. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Where is the tumor?
It's right on her right side, you know, in the upper chest area.
Okay.
And it goes up and down. It's so bizarre. I do some salve on it, and we're giving her blood root and some different herbal things. I clean it with hydrogen peroxide.
Mm. Oh, so you're seeing some of that exposed, the tumor exposed outside of the body.
It's exposed. No, yeah, it is. So, I mean, in a way, it's good. I can treat it where it had a hole, and I put the blood root in it, and it kind of moved out.
Mm. Well, actually, that's a really good sign. That's actually a sign that the tumor's coming out, you know, it's coming out. So the way that I do, you know, I'm trained as a theta healer, and I do healing with the theta brainwave, healing with the Akashic records, and all kinds of energy healing.
Wow.
I'm a Reiki master as well. So what I want to give to you is here is that this cat, by the way, what is the age of this cat?
We have a lot of rescues. So I'm just going to guess 8 to 10.
Okay, good. So that's really actually quite good news. So what I'm hearing actually is this cat can indeed heal from this cancer, but obviously it's really linked to your mom because your cat is healing your mom, and there's multiple aspects. In fact, I'm being shown like a pyramid, and what that really is indicating to me is that this is connected through the family. So let me translate this for you. Number one, we know that cancer is an energy that's associated with lack of forgiveness and hatred. And we know that cancer as an energy field really is the body's way of teaching us how to forgive. And that when an animal who's deeply bonded to their humans, as this animal is deeply bonded to her mother and to you, that's the pyramid, the three of you, is really teaching you guys about forgiveness and release. And so that's a huge part of the work in the healing, is that as your mother and you both practice forgiveness of the things that have been making you, you know, angry, whatever they are, because we're not going into that right now. We don't have time. That's a whole session.
My mother is an angry person already, you know.
Yeah, well, so you're validating it. You're validating.
Yeah, I mean, I constantly forgive her. I think there could be some chemical imbalance. So there's, and I don't know if I'm giving her the chemical imbalance label because I can't believe that somebody could be that mean, you know, or that bitter.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not even sure if I'm correct in giving her that label.
Well,
but
you know,
the
we
cat loves her.
That's right.
I'm
the
amazed.
Cat loves her. So this cat is healing your mom and facilitating the relationship healing between you, your mom, and your mom and herself, you and yourself, and all three of you together. So here you are validating all this. So as that forgiveness work starts to unfold, and even if your mom is in a state of sort of hating or being angry, as you're indicating, it doesn't mean, you see, your mom has her high self has a purpose as well, which may be just, it doesn't mean she has to turn into and transform into this woman of total bliss and love. It just means she has a little bit of forgiveness to work to do, maybe.
Okay.
But
that
so,
would be crazy.
You know, it's whatever is appropriate for her. And at the same time, if you think about this from a place of oneness, which I know we can talk about here on this you know, on this radio show, really move into a place of oneness where you've been projecting your mom to be an angry person and for you to connect with your mom on a very high level, like, you know, soul to soul, high self to high self. This is not person to person. And you call in your mom, high self to high self, with the presence of your cat there and facilitate conversation from a place of resolution, from a place of healing, and from a place of forgiveness, that is the intention for this three-way dialogue here from high self to high self. Now, that as well, then start to talk to the tumor and tell the tumor, you know, from an energetic standpoint, thank you, tumor. You've done your work. We appreciate you. You have facilitated awakening and forgiveness and release. We appreciate you, and we're ready for you to be done now because you've done your work. We let you go. So talk to the tumor itself, and then obviously engage Kitsy in that as well through telepathic communication with Kitsy, where you're just even just talking to Kitsy and say, hey, Kitsy, you've done a great job. We appreciate your healing. You know, it's ready. We're ready for you to release this tumor and to keep your physical body and to restore your body to its ideal perfect state of health and well-being. And so energetically, if you do that, and then really step into the knowing that right now we're at this pivotal time where those kinds of things are actually simple if we humans get out of the way. And remember to incorporate the power of your intention in this.
Well, my mother had a couple of other, well, she had another cat that had cancer. And the reason I jumped in with this one is because the cat was so sweet and I felt like she might get neglected. And you're right, you're validating what I felt, that I'm jumping in because I felt neglected as a child.
Right.
So
therein lies the pyramid, the triangle that we were talking
right.
about. This is the opportunity for you to transform that. Because we're now in a reality, Debbie, where you can rewrite your own history. Do you want to be a person who walks around thinking I was neglected when I was a child? Or would you rather have a consciousness that says, you know what, I really learned a lot about how to care for myself and others in
yeah,
my
I
childhood.
Like that.
And now I've stepped into that. And this way you transform your history and your whole experience of that history into something way more empowering for you.
Yeah, I have goosebumps right now. I like that.
Awesome.
And I have moments of that. I just occasionally feel sorry for myself, you know, when I'm run down or tired and then it all
Are you a
splits
sixth
back.
Person? What is your birthday, Debbie?
It's February 12th, 63.
Oh, yeah, you have a six in your life path.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, your entire life path is a six.
Mm-hmm.
That's all about self-care, self-nurturing. Mm-hmm. By the way, we're in year six, 2013, year six.
Oh, wow.
I'm just using basic numerology here. And that means this year is all about self-care, care for ourselves, care for others, compassion, love, home. It has a lot to do with home, starts right at home. Home is within us. you know, not just our physical homes, but the home of our body, ourselves. So we're all going to be learning a lot about care, love, kindness, and compassion for ourselves and others. This is exactly in alignment with your life path. And the fact that you're calling right here, right now, is very likely a very divine, you know, divine timing kind of alignment.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does, but I've given so much, I get resentful because after I take care of everybody, it's the end of the day, and I'm exhausted,
mm-hmm.
and it just seems to be a bottomless pit of what everybody in my family needs,
mm-hmm.
you know,
I hear
and my
that.
Boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. I hear that. I understand that firsthand. The only thing I can say to you on that is you're here to learn about that, so you have to carve out time for you. And just remember, you know, that story about the airplane. This is like such a basic story.
Right.
Put the mask on yourself first, you know. You can't keep caring for everybody if you're not
right.
taking time out for you. You have to carve that out, and you're meant to learn how to do that. So you can either make it a challenge, which you've definitely got challenge in this. It's not an easy choice. You have to make the choice. I get that it doesn't come easily to you to make that choice, but it is required of you. So what's your choice, to make it easy or to make it hard? One way or another, your high self, your soul self, is going to force you to do it because that's part of your soul self's agenda for you.
Easy. I want it to be
yeah.
easy.
The way to make it easy is just be like, okay, soul self, you signed me up for this. I'm doing it. I'm going to do it. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Awesome.
I would like to eventually be a healer myself. I know I'm not there yet, you know. Like, it's just wow.
Well, you actually already are. You just don't know it yet, so you have to just kind of reawaken it within you. And we all are.
Wow.
So just reawaken it within you. I mean, definitely get on my website. And, I mean, I train people how to do this kind of stuff.
I just went to the Facebook, and I'm going to go to your website next.
Awesome. Well,
thank you,
Debbie.
So much.
Yeah,
that
my pleasure.
That was awesome. I'd like to keep listening.
Woohoo.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling in, Debbie.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of the show. Okay. Our next caller is calling all the way from Australia. Annika, you are on the air.
Hi.
Lori Spagna.
Hello,
hi,
how are you, Lori?
How
are you?
Awesome. How are you?
Good. I'm very well, thank you.
Annika! I know Annika. Hello, lovely lady.
Thank you, Lori.
So wonderful to reconnect with you.
It is lovely, thank you. I'm so enjoying this show. It's really nice.
Awesome.
You've come up with some really interesting pointers to be, you know, putting into my own life there as well. So it's really good to listen to it. I have a question with regard to rivers. The little boy, Billy.
Yeah.
He appears to have a couple of issues. Physically, he's got a pelvis problem, and the treatment doesn't hold. He just keeps getting worse all the time. And I know he's got some emotional issues as well, and I was wondering, could you see or tell or hear from him what's actually going on there?
Okay, so can I ask you the pelvic problem? Can you help me understand a little bit better what this is? Because obviously if we had an hour, I could tune in and find out, but it's easier to facilitate this faster if you could feed me some information. The pelvis problem, what is that? Is it bones or is it urinary tract? What is it?
No, it appears to be the actual structural set there, the bones.
Okay, bones.
And it looks like one of the sciatic nerves is being twisted there.
Okay.
Compressed because of how the bones are sitting.
Okay, so I'm just tuning in and finding out now. Okay. Okay, I understand. So there's a couple of factors here. The first thing I'm receiving and I'm understanding is that this has to do with the reason the treatment's not sticking is because the situation in the environment, which is directly in your home, in your lifestyle, has not been going away. So we can clear the issue, but if it doesn't change in the environment, it's not changing. So that's a larger part of it. It has to be changed in your physical lifestyle in your home. That's what's the underlying cause. and why this isn't sticking, the treatment's not sticking.
Yeah.
Now, beyond that,
okay.
though, when you talk about, so, of course, there's this deep call. The words I'm hearing is there's a deep inner need, a deep inner calling to you to make a deeper level of transformation in your lifestyle, in your home, in your physical environment, one that is more relaxing and one that is more uplifting for you and for your animal companion. So that's a huge part of what this is all about. Now, just in terms of treatment, though, if I could say, and I know this in and of itself, again, won't really be enough because the primary is what we just said. But the secondary thing with respect to the bones, colostrum. So I don't know, I know you're in Australia, and that might be a little harder to access, but even like raw goat's milk really helps with bones. Colostrum, if you can get that, but it comes in raw goat.
Yeah.
It's from raw goat's milk, so you can either get it in a powder format. That really helps with that. The other thing that really helps with bones, and I know that it's not just bones, it's also nerves, but to support the bones. And colostrum is really, it's like nature's first amino, you know, it's like the building blocks of life. But the other thing is you can look into online Cissus, which is probably a little more challenging to get in Australia, but you can get it mail order, C-I-S-S, I think it's I-S, and that really facilitates bone growth and strengthening of the bones. And you understand, energetically, bones have a lot to do with, if you think about backbone, and it has a lot to do with will.
Strength.
Yes. So this is calling on you to, if we read into the energy of this, it's calling on you to step into your power and get unnerved. You see? Unnerved. By creating a more sustainable environment for you and for your animal companions. Yeah. And that is really the lesson, so to speak, or the healing that's coming through this dog rivet.
Poor boy.
Yeah, but he really, really does love you, you know, and this is part of
how he's
facilitating for you.
It is so beautiful, and he looks so sad at the moment. He can't walk much, and he can't play much, and he's only 3 years old. You think, oh, my goodness sake, it's so sad, and then... At the same time, I'm so grateful for
the other thing. The other thing is for the nerves, acupuncture. For him will really help. Acupuncture for dogs, if you can find someone who knows how to do acupuncture for animals, that would be really great. And of course, you can use, if you're familiar, I know that you are, EFT, which you can do on yourself for him.
For him, yeah.
Yes, and you facilitate for your as his surrogate.
Yes.
And make sure you do, for him, very not aggressive EFT because, he's uncomfortable.
Yes.
Yeah, so do sort of a very moderate EFT, but you have to do it continuously and repetitiously.
Okay. Is there a particular sentence that I could use to help him for tapping?
For tapping.
Yeah, for sure.
You can do, you know, even though we've been really, you know, anxious, we've had a lot of this nerve problem. You don't have to say it exactly. Even though we've been having these nerve problems and pinched nerve muscle, you know, and physical discomfort, even though we've had this in our body, we're really ready to release it now because we're a good dog. I'm a good dog. And I love myself, and I'm loved, and I matter.
Yeah.
I'm lovable. And I can have the peace and harmony now. It's got a lot to do with peace and harmony. I can have the peace and harmony now. I'm ready to receive the peace and harmony in my life now. I'm ready to be the peace and harmony in my life now. So even though we've got this pinched nerve, I'm a good dog.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Thank you so much, Laurie.
You're welcome. So nice to reconnect with you.
It certainly is. Thank you for sending me the email through about it.
Thank you. Yeah. My pleasure.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling, Annika. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's very interesting. I'm sure that everyone that has animals has probably encountered at least one of these situations, and so these are helping more than just the people that are calling online. Next, we have another caller with a question. This is Tina. Hello, Tina. You're on the air with Lori.
Hi, Lori.
Hi, Tina.
Hi. I have a German Shepherd. She's 3 years old, and I've always had shepherds, and I'm a Reiki master, and I think I communicate well with the animals. But this one has got me stumped. She's like bipolar. She doesn't listen. She does if you yell at her, but she thinks she's the boss, very possessive, and sometimes she don't even, you know, want me to go in the living room if, you know, my family's out there. She thinks I belong where I belong. She's a screwball.
Tina, what is the German Shepherd's name?
Nixie.
Nixie, like N-I-X-I-E?
Correct.
Okay. And where are you located geographically?
I'm in the south, in North Carolina.
Okay. Let me just get quiet for a second. Okay. Number one, there is a battle of ego going on here. And here's the battle of ego. Obviously, you know, when you do readings with me for animals, it's not just about the animal. It's so much more. It's really about the human. So as you can see, these readings are as much about our animals as they are about ourselves, because effectively the animals are reflecting things to us that we need to heal or learn or transpose or change in some way or evolve into, something like that. So, and by the way, that's why I named my business Ethel's God. It just spells dog's life backwards, because they're really mirroring back to us. So this dog, Nixie, as I'm understanding it here, there's this battle of the ego here. And on her side, the battle is she does not want you to continue, as I'm understanding, she does not want you to continue labeling her in the ways that you've been labeling her.
Uh-huh.
And she does not like being referred to as bipolar or obsessive or
I don't tell her that.
What's that?
Pardon me?
I didn't hear what you said.
I said I don't tell her that.
Oh, yes, but she, you see, they hear our thoughts.
Yeah,
they hear
that,
our thoughts. They feel our feelings. They know
uh-huh.
our secrets. There's nothing, there's almost nothing we can really hide from them, because it's almost like they're so tuned into us. And if you think about the animals, they're not off living their lives and busy with other things. They're not going to work. They're not paying bills. They're not figuring out how to make their next dream come true. They're just there, tuned into their human, 24/7. So, and their job is to be assigned to us, really. I mean, your dog, Nixie, is with you, as assigned to you. So here's the thing. You've got a powerhouse within you, Tina, which is busting out. Like, you're a very powerful woman, and you have a lot of powerful potential within you. And this power has to be channeled in a more positive, what we would define as positive, you know, because that's always human judgment and point of view, what we would define as more positive. So she's part of the teacher for you in that way, because you're projecting things that are, we would call, like, we would define them as negative onto your dog. Like, how would you like it if somebody saw you, and I'm coming at this place from solutions, so I don't want to offend you in any way, but let's just say, if someone who you really loved, who maybe you shared a home with even, would
uh-huh.
say to you, you know, you're crazy with that Reiki master stuff. You're bipolar. One minute you're in a good mood. And even if that person wasn't telling you, and you were just thinking, they were just thinking it about you. Right? So what your dog is effectively saying is, I don't like that. I don't want you to do that anymore.
Uh-huh.
But on an underlying level, as I'm understanding it, the dog's also assisting you to step into a more loving aspect of yourself, a more loving
mm-hmm.
aspect of yourself that's going to have more loving thoughts, more compassionate thoughts, more, not just thoughts, but really intentions. So that your intention in this way was, how can I love and accept Nixie more? And at the same time, understanding that Nixie is simply an aspect of you that needs to be loved and accepted more, exactly
mm-hmm.
as you are. Because I'm wondering, who called you bipolar? Who told you that you were a little crazy and obsessive?
Nobody that I know of.
Okay, well, so that part, if nobody told you that you know of, that's fine. It could be something linked to to some other incarnation of you, or else something that you heard from somewhere, but you learned those words, because the truth of who you are is that you're the embodiment of source in a body, creator, the field of love, of kindness, of compassion, of all that is, that. And generally speaking, when we're aligning with that aspect of ourselves, that God self, which is who we become in the fifth dimension anyway, then from that place of oneness, you probably wouldn't go around labeling something outside of you as bipolar. You would simply be like, oh, you know.
Well, she, like, changes her mood, swings mood. Like, right now, she's laying right by my feet. She's as good as gold. She came over, and she wanted me to hug her and pet her. Mm-hmm. And then someday, she's like, oh, I ain't going to listen to you today.
Mm-hmm. Well, German Shepherds are notorious.
Yeah, I know. I had five of them, but we've always communicated. This one, we don't communicate. Maybe because I'm older now and I don't take the time.
Well, that could be it. But they're also notorious for coupling with humans who are meant to learn more about effective leadership. That is part of the German species. German Shepherd as a species, they tend to couple up with humans who are learning more about effective leadership. Because German Shepherds in general require really effective leadership. So, I mean, from a behavioral standpoint, there's obviously probably some work I could assist you with on that, although we probably need to, I mean, that could take another hour. But I'm just saying that could be part of it, but it's really at the fundamental level. It's not just about loving deeper. It's also about your role as a leader, and as, you know, when you say that you're a Reiki master, that means you've got some really incredible gifts within you. I can just read that even in your field. But in order to really harness those gifts, they need to be channeled in such a way that you're stepping into your full potential, and that obviously is part of this dog's her role with you. Now, if we were in a private session, we could obviously go deeper into making that transformation within Nixie and within you. But, you know, we've got just a few minutes here, so.
Can I ask you a question? Do I have a rapport with animals? I always felt I did. Well, I'm an older woman now. You know, I think I've lost all my power right now. There's days I, you know, I just get tired of, I'm just, you know, she's hard to work with.
Yeah.
And because German Shepherds, they don't really learn until they're about 3 years old.
I'm not sure I agree with that. My behavioral training. History.
Some of them don't listen. The other ones I had did. And I had one right from Germany, which was very, very intelligent. But, you know, some takes longer than others, just like children, you know.
Yeah. I just don't agree that they need 3 years. I mean, I will say I was trained in behavioral training by a gentleman who spent 20 years training government service dogs for the United States government. I was trained by him directly in a very intensive training program that was both in classroom and, you know, in the field with all different kinds of dogs. But that said, Tina, of course you're connected to animals because you have that within you. And the whole concept of you're getting older, that, you know, you're old and you're tired, just tells me, well, you probably need some DNA activations and, you know, and some energy activations, because, you know, old is just a point of view in our minds.
Yeah, I know.
That the rest
is,
of our body
very
follows. Yeah. So, you know, of course you're tuned into animals, otherwise you wouldn't be listening to this show right now, and you wouldn't have had animals in your life, and you wouldn't be doing the work that you're doing, and you wouldn't even be calling. So it just means, you know, opening up your skill sets to a whole new level that you haven't maybe been doing in the past, or a deeper level that you're ready to take the next step.
Do you think I do communicate with the animals though? I just wondered, because there was a horse. There's horses out back, and one is very, very mean. And I went up to the barn, and he just let me baby him and everything. And she said, oh, God, don't touch that horse. It's mean. He'll bite you. And she said, you're the first one to ever walk up and touch that animal.
Well, so my question, too, is why are you asking me? You already know that. You're already receiving validation.
Yeah,
so of course
Nixie,
you are.
I'm beginning to wonder.
I know. It just means you need some more training and some more assistance. That's all.
Yeah, I know.
She's giving you a challenge to help you step into your gifts even deeper and make them even greater.
Okay.
And there's people and animals who need you, so embrace the challenge.
I will.
Get some support and training around it.
Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank Thank you very much. I guess I'll step into my power and train her.
Okay, Tina.
Just
thank
you don't
you
take
so
me down the road. All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, hon. Bye-bye.
Okay. Lori, we have a few more people waiting to talk with you. And,
you know, if I could say, too, would it be all right if I make a mention? Because for anybody who goes to my website, there's actually some really great free gifts there. If you get on the newsletter, there's an MP3 that's how to start using animal communication in your life right now. And so for the caller, Tina, that we just spoke with, that would be something that you probably would really benefit from. And there's also a gift on there, a free MP3 class, an intro class on tapping into your psychic intuitive gifts and developing those. And those are, you know, good, really good classes. And then there's also an ebook that's a juicy living ebook. And those are all free on the website if you go to lorispagna.com.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. And that's lorispagna.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, are you ready for a few more callers?
For sure. My pleasure.
Okay. Okay, so next we are going to be talking to Ralph. Hi, Ralph. You're on the air with Lori.
Hi, Ralph.
Hi. Lori.
Hi. How are you?
I'm real good, real good. Thank you very much. And I'm really enjoying this show. It's amazing. Even though I don't have a pet at this particular time, I've had pets in the past, and I can thoroughly relate to a lot of the things that you've covered. I had a real quick question, and I was just curious. Have humans ever incarnated as animals in previous lives?
Oh, yeah. Isn't that amazing? I'm so glad you asked that, Ralph. You know, it depends on who you speak with, because different people have different points of view on this. And if you speak to people who are trained in a lot of the teachings from India, for example, a lot of them believe that animals are incarnating to become humans. However, in my personal experience, when I tune into animals, almost always I hear the animals say that they would not want to be humans, that they really have it made for the most part when they do, you know, when the animals are able to have an energy that allows them to incarnate in a human family where they're really loved and treated well. Most animals really prefer that, at least in my experience of connecting with them, that they're not trying to be humans, and that most humans are humans and animals are animals from that point of view, that there's a delineation in that sense. And you know, when you think about animals, that they kind of have it made. You know, it's like they get to go on walks and they get to sleep most of the day. They really don't have to work. They get a lot of love from people who love them. They get fed. They don't have to work for their food. And they just have to share love and sort of help, you know, facilitate consciousness and healing for their human, which they do gladly because they love them. And same thing for humans. Most humans aren't sitting around thinking, oh, I'd like to be an animal. However, you know, we live on a cosmic level. The choice and potential is limitless. So on a cosmic level, of course, you can choose to be an animal in another incarnation, and may have been, and in other dimensions of reality, a human might be an animal, and an animal might be a human. So, of course, that exists.
Mm.
However, in the physical reality, most of what I find is that there's not very much overlap at all.
Oh, wow.
Does that answer your question?
It doesn't. If I don't have a pet or an animal that I'm close to right now, and maybe I want to, you know, get some of the energy, some healing energy from some animal or whatever, would it make sense to go to a zoo and maybe wander around and see if one I can telecommunicate with one of them? And
yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. First of all, the animals who are in, you know, enclosures like that, I mean, like I said, a lot of them aren't particularly thrilled about it, although they understand, you know, a lot of them really understand it as part of their cosmic contract or their divine missions. But they sometimes can get pretty bored. And if you think about so many, you know, what goes on really with the human-animal interaction is that lots of people talk to animals, but not everybody listens to them. And in fact, I have these horses that live nearby my house, and I go to visit them frequently. And I just recently, you know, had run into this woman who was there, and she was like, oh, don't talk to these horses, you know, the owner of the properties, and I don't know, all kinds of, like, fear energy. And I was just, like, thinking, these horses love my presence here. They are so grateful for somebody who's just willing to tune in and listen to them. And so many animals, like zoos and aquariums, and those, they really, really welcome that, so many cases. And, you know, just always ask permission first. Hey, could we connect? Could we have a dialogue here? And practice that way. Just be open and be in an energy of you're being in love, and you're not forcing your will on them. If you feel some kind of no, or hear a no, or physically, energetically feel a tightness, that's usually a no. But my experience, you rarely receive no's from animals.
Well,
so, yeah, go for it, Ralph. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. I enjoyed
yeah.
the show. It's very interesting. It's very interesting information.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Yeah,
thank
you too.
Thanks for calling, Ralph. Bye-bye.
That's an awesome question.
That was a very good question.
Yeah, because really, so many people want to learn how to do this. And, you know, just a major step of it is just going out and doing it. I mean, that's certainly how I learned. I didn't really get trained in it until years after I was already and had already been doing it, you know, for a long time. Then I started to get more formal training. And I absolutely 100% believe formal training is something you need if you're really going to fully embrace it. But at the same time, you know, we do have these gifts. So when we step out and just start doing it, it's literally the message to the universe of, hey, I'm going to tap into it and show me the way.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Just like you jump into the pool and maybe you can dog paddle, but you need someone to show you all the fancy strokes.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So we're going to pick up. We have yet another caller that's called in, so we still have two more callers with questions, and I think we have time. So next we are going to talk to Lisa. Hello, Lisa. You're on the air with Lori.
Oh, hi. Thank you very much. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Lisa. I know this voice. I knew it was you initially. Right from the beginning. Lovely to hear from you.
Yes, I wanted to ask you about our little girl, Roxy.
Mm.
And she sometimes gets aggressive with the other one, Rosie, like at night, if we're sleeping in the bed, all of a sudden the other night she just started to attack her for no reason in the middle of the night.
Okay, so I'm just getting quiet to listen what's really going on there. Okay, well, so you have some stuff going on around, okay, what are the right words there? I'm having a challenge with delivering the right words to you because as I'm connecting, the dog doesn't really have words to express this, so let me translate it myself. The words that I'm being given are survival of the fittest, but that is not really what this is about. There's something deeper. So what it is you have a changing of the, I don't even want to say a changing of the guard. There's a shift going on within your field, and this is what's going on between Roxy and Rosie is almost like the battle for who's going to win with this new emerging energy. So I want to bring this down to earth for you more. You're going through transformation in your life and in your home, and this transformation is being played out between the two sides. And so the dogs, in a way, are emulating this. Now, that doesn't really make a difference here or there because the real issue is here. How do you get this solved? Because this cannot continue. This is not okay. So how do we resolve this issue between Roxy and Rosie, especially with Roxy because she's doing this stuff? And that's really what I would rather get to because it really can't be tolerated. So, okay. So from a behavioral point of view, if Rosie is going to be doing that, you need to demonstrate to her that she's not able to be on the bed. right? Because if she wants to be an equal on the bed, you know, sleeping with you guys, then she has to behave like a harmonious pack member. She has to be in harmony with you. And so dogs, most animals actually, besides the human animal, are really good at understanding cause and effect. The human animal is the only one trying to figure out cause and effect, trying to learn cause and effect. Like if we dump chemicals in our sky, there's an effect on our food supply. Like we don't seem to get that, but that's a separate story. So your dog gets that. So for you to talk to Roxy and connect with her on an ongoing and regular basis and let her know, Roxy, when you get aggressive like that, you're creating stress in our world and in our life, and it's not okay. And it creates more stress. So you're giving her the cause effect. So when you do this, this is the that is the result. Or when you do X, Y is the result. And that's not okay. And here's the consequence of that action. So the consequence is you cannot sleep on the bed. You're going to be removed from the bed and taken off the bed. And you can have a crated area or a gate, you know, a safe area for her to sleep. And she will probably cry and bother you, but she's going to have to learn that there's a cause and effect. Animals learn that way. All animals learn through, cause and effect, stimuli response. Human animals learn that way too. So this is what she needs to, this is more of a behavioral part, because as the transformation goes on that we were speaking about earlier within your life, within you, what we're asking for here, this transformation requires more peace and harmony in your life, in your lifestyle, and in your home and in your environment. The dog is facilitating you to make that shift, but she's right now energetically demonstrating where it's not. There's not peace and harmony going on there. Does this make sense?
It does make sense, because I did put her down, and it happened before when she was at a friend's house, and she was upstairs in his bed, and I said, we got to go home. I went upstairs to go get her, and she just she didn't bite me, but she let me know with the teeth and all, and the growling, she didn't want to be taken away from their house.
Yeah, that's not okay. So when that stuff starts to happen, you know, this is not a 5-minute fix. You need to do some behavioral adjustments for her, because she's exhibiting behaviors that really are unacceptable and that they're not creating harmony in your family dynamic, in your family pack. She's a pack animal. It's bred in and through her to be part of a pack, and right now she's compensating and demonstrating behaviors which are, you know, unacceptable. So to bring it back into harmony means you have to make more adjustments for her. Ultimately, she's got too much freedom. So the first thing I would do is get her off the bed. I wouldn't allow that until she earns it back. I mean, her basic fundamental rights, the right to be loved, the right to be safe, the right to be fed, the right to have water, et cetera, those fundamental rights, we never take those away from the animals. But the privileges that are earned with being peaceful and harmonious and working in harmony with the pack, like the privilege of sleeping on a bed with the rest of the pack members, that's got to be earned. And if she's not living up to it, you need to take that privilege away from her without taking away her rights. And you need to communicate to her. You know animal communication. You've certainly been learning it. So communicate to her that that's unacceptable. And that doesn't mean by reprimanding her, going to energy of bad or it's bad or don't do that. That energy is not going to work, because she's picking up on that energy and emulating it back. It is instead holding the energy of, this is really not going to work for us. This is just causing stress and turmoil. So you need to go off the bed until you can learn how to be more peaceful and harmonious and earn it back. Thanks. That's it.
Great. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much, Lori. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. My pleasure. Thanks for calling in, Lisa.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Lisa. If I could just interject here, because this is something that's so familiar to me, because I am a professional dog trainer when I'm not doing the radio or astrology. And the one thing that I would add is that, yes, they're pack animals, but there's not a strong leader. So she's trying to step into that role and control everybody and have her own way. And so the way to get her on an equal basis with the other members is for Lisa to be stronger as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be what Roxy's trying to demonstrate to, and being a leader is just being calm and assertive all the time,
mm-hmm.
and having control of the food. And you put the food down and they're not allowed to eat it until you tell them it's okay. And, you know, the pack sleeps together. So everybody on the bed is all part of the pack, and but there has to be the time, like you said, where she gets off the bed because the pack is not allowed to sleep with the leader. And that might help. It's a totem pole thing, the pecking order.
Mm-hmm.
So by being a stronger person, a stronger leader, where the dogs are concerned, that might help her. And they're I found that they're pretty willing to take their place once they say, oh, that's a relief. We got a good leader. I don't have to do it.
That's right. That's right. You're absolutely right, because the fundamental issue that's really here is anxiety. Because when the pack's not in harmony and there's not an effective leader, which, by the way, the leader is just the balance of the alpha brainwave and the beta brainwave. So when there's an imbalance in the family, an animal gets stressed out and there's a lot of anxiety, and the result of the consequence of that anxiety is that an animal gets out of balance and steps up. So that's what Roxy is doing. So you're absolutely right, Ariel. This is Ariel, right?
Yes.
Okay, I thought that was your voice.
Yes. Well, that's the wolf way.
Right. So you're absolutely right. So this dog is basically stepping up, thinking that she needs to be the leader in absence of a leader because of her anxiety, because without an effective leader, a wolf pack basically could die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything could happen, but it becomes life or death, and then they're functioning from, you know, survival mode. So
and little things you can do, just if the dog is just lying there minding her own business, just go and take her spot, make her move, and then
mm-hmm.
you stand in her spot, because
mm-hmm.
that's something that the leader would do. I want that. Oh, I want that
right.
space. You have to go.
Right.
It's just like little psychological assertions about who's
right.
in control here. You know, I go out the door first, not you. You
yeah.
follow me all the time, and everything that they're allowed to do is because you've told them to do it,
mm-hmm.
and then that helps to balance the pack.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, ultimately, you might have to, what I have done with aggressive dogs is literally to put them on their back and you know, kind of hold them there with your hand at their throat as if it was the teeth of another dog until they surrender. And sometimes, I mean, I did that with a pit bull, and she was never aggressive again. But it's just that little thing, it just clicks. It's like, oh, okay. Oh, thanks for telling me. I didn't know who was the leader.
Yeah.
So.
See, the only thing that if I could say about that is I'm not really a big advocate of the pinning them down type of thing. I know that that is widely promoted on popularized television shows. However, I find that that is more of a, in general, in the training world, it's kind of like an ego sort of response to try to,
well,
you know.
In situations of danger, like someone's going to get hurt, you know, like I said, this pit bull would have drawn blood on this other dog, so
mm-hmm.
it's a last resort, and I've only
mm-hmm.
had to do it that one time. But
mm-hmm.
you know, if somebody's going to get hurt, you know,
yeah.
you can't punch them. You know?
Yeah,
they wouldn't understand that. So, yeah,
yeah,
I understand what you're saying there.
Yeah, one
so,
of the things I have actually that's really interesting that I think Lisa might know about is I offer a spiritual dog training program, which is a really incredible, powerful dog training program, and it's based on really a combination of traditional dog training and training from some of the most, you know, evolutionarily evolved trainers, and the combination with that and consciousness of the animal communication. So, but anyhow, that's something that certainly she can find out more about if she wants to know.
Great. Well, we are going to move on to our next caller, and I'm going to keep an eye on the time here to try to make sure everyone gets a chance here. So next we are going to talk to Gloria as soon as I get your mic open. Okay. Gloria, you're on the air with Lori.
Hi,
Hi
Gloria.
There. Hi. I'm from Washington State.
Hi.
And I have a question.
Okay.
My cat, Rio, has continuing sinus infections after he gets his Clavamox. He gets well, and then he gets sick again. What do you think, Lori?
I'm just tuning in. Hold on. What is Rio's age?
He's 7.
Okay. Well, there's a number of factors here. One of it definitely has to do with, okay, so it's obviously it's energetically linked to you, but it's also definitely this cat's unique soul's imprint. So in other words, a lot of the times when we have physical stuff going on with our animal companions, it's definitely directly linked to what's going on with the human. For example, if we remember back to Debbie's reading earlier in the call and the cat that we read for with Kitsy. In this case, it is linked to you. However, it is also very specific to this cat, these sinus infections. So let's just say that right there. That means that there needs to be some clearing and healing directly with the cat, Rio. Now, okay, it also definitely has to do with needing more vacation time. So that's linked to you. You're somehow needing more fun time and play time and outdoor time.
Oh.
For you and for the cat. So that part is part of what the sinus issue is telling you. It's related to that. Does that make sense?
It does for me, but he's an inside-outside cat.
Okay.
He gets lots of vacation.
Okay, all right, that's fine. So we're tuning into you now. But on a deeper level, there is a block. And this is, I'm trying to find out, what this is for the cat? Well, anyway, so let me just go here because I'm not entirely certain what the block is. But sinus infections in general, on a physical level, in the physical reality, sinus infections are obviously usually allergies and very often related to the food allergies or environmental allergies like what's in the air. The fact that you tell me you're in Washington State tells me you're probably in a higher quality air quality up there, so that doesn't indicate to me it's too much air quality related, but probably food related allergy, and that's definitely part of what I'm picking up on. There's more to this, but I would definitely check into the food. And by the way, if you're feeding a dried food to a cat, I'm not at all into dried foods. They don't, no matter what those packages say, no matter what their marketing says, they're devoid of nutritional content, and they basically are effectively like carbohydrates, and cats and dogs especially need really rich, protein-dense food, not food that's been processed and looks like a bunch of hay. So I don't know, are you feeding the cat dried food?
He does get it, and he gets canned food and occasionally fresh meat.
Okay. Yeah, I like the fresh meat. I typically am a raw food advocate, and even if an animal doesn't always want the raw food because they've been sort of fed, like, it's sort of like just on the parallel level, if you could imagine taking someone who's been eating McDonald's their whole life and then handing them a bunch of spinach, they'd be like, I don't want the spinach, I want the McDonald's. Sometimes our animals are like that. So you might want to warm it up slightly if you switch to raw food. That very, very often clears up food allergies almost immediately, especially if you can go, you know, to a high-quality organic raw food. I'm not a big fan of pharmaceutical drugs, especially not for ongoing treatment, like the Clavamox is an ongoing treatment. So I'm not a medical doctor, and I'm not trying to take the place of a medical doctor, but I know that pharmaceuticals really are rooted in some really dark, evil stuff. And I can say that openly on this kind of a show. So
I have very strong feelings about pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, okay,
also.
So you understand. Great.
Yes,
so,
I absolutely do.
So the underlying thing that I really want to get to here, though, because I believe that if you switch this cat to a raw diet, you're going to see a transformation. Raw food is much more expensive in general, but, you know, you consider the vet visits, the time and the energy that you have to take off to go to the vet and to get the Clavamox and to pay for the Clavamox and all that other stuff. Really, over time, raw food is just as cost-effective. It's just that it's amortized over time as opposed to one clump period of time where you've got to deal with physical issues. So that aside, what I'm hearing is that will very likely clear up a lot of that right away. But there is energetically, this is at the root that I'm getting to, there's a block of some kind. And we typically know that sinus issues are usually a block that's right in front of our face that we can't see. We just can't see it. But there's some kind of block. And your cat is definitely mirroring this. It's related to your cat directly, to what's going on in your cat's life and parallel lives for your cat, other dimensions of reality for this cat. Yeah, because there's other realities that the cat's tuned into, older stuff, and it's also related to you, Gloria.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it has a lot to do with the word I'm hearing is joy, the expression of joy, the living of joy, the embracing of joy. But it's other stuff, too, so we would need more time to go deeper there.
It's a little complex thing.
Yeah. Well, most of the time these things are, right? These are really powerful messages for us about our own personal growth, expansion, evolution, and they're being mirrored to us now, especially during this time on planet Earth. It's really heightened because it's designed to get us to get it. So, but this is something that's like right in front of your face that you're not, and you're probably asking a lot about it. Like, how do I do this? Like, what is going on?
Yes, I am so much more becoming in tune to that animal, my sweet cat, and what's going on with them, and me being in a soft communication with them.
Mm.
So that's happening between us, and I'm.
So isn't that beautiful? You're literally validating everything we just went through. And so part of clearing up the sinus infection is literally to start really saying, start shifting into the energy of I've got it. It's really, this is so much easier and less complicated than we humans tend to make it. It's really more of a choice to go, you know what? I'm going to just be it. I'm going to be these things that I keep saying I'm looking for. Just step into being it. And that's going to actually help clear up some of that sinus infection because that's literally the block. Just becoming it.
Wow.
Instead of feeling blocked from it. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. It's one of those esoteric feelings that is there, but humanly, we haven't been able to really experience it yet. Because we've been so dense.
Yes.
This is Lavendar. I'd like to ask a question. Do you have new carpet or a new chair or something you've brought into the house that may have formaldehyde or some kind of chemical on it?
Thank you, Lavendar. No, there's nothing new that I've brought into the house since I've brought him in. Everything is the same.
What do you clean your floors with?
I vacuum and I use a Swiffer on my wood floors.
Because I just got a vision of him sniffing something on the floor.
Oh, maybe he wants to pee. He's the furniture.
I don't know.
I see him sniffing in the laundry room, and another cat comes in and. I think
well, it could
my
be
house
something
is
in the
okay.
laundry room.
Pardon me?
It could be something in the laundry room. Is there any kind of chemical in there?
There's my soaps. You know.
Yeah, because if there's chemicals in there, I mean, cats are highly sensitive, so that's brilliant of Lavendar to bring that up, and that's something to definitely look at in your environment.
Do you know I have one of those plug-in wall things for air freshener?
Oh, yeah.
One of those.
Yeah, get those out.
Things.
Those are, yeah,
that could be
toxin in the air.
Lavendar, that's excellent.
Yeah,
it's something close to the floor of where he is. It's not up high. It's something down closer, what I picked up.
Okay.
He's going around sniffing it, whatever it is.
I'll look for it. I'm still thinking of... I'm not seeing chemicals close to the floor, but I'm just seeing maybe another cat coming in and spraying. No, that's not it.
Oh, that's not it. It's just something, I don't know, it just kind of came to me. I'm not good at animal communication, I don't think, but who knows.
Okay, thank you so much for your intuition, Lavendar.
Yeah.
I appreciate you very much.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Lori.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
And good night, I guess.
Good night. Are we still here?
Hello?
Oh, hi.
Ariel, are you there?
I'm sorry. I muted my phone when I was coughing, and I forgot to turn it back on, so I'm just here talking to nobody. Okay. Sorry about that. So we do have another couple of callers. We're going to try to fit everybody in, but we might run out of time. So let's try to stay, you know, on the subject here. Next, we are going to talk to Charlene. Hi, you're on the air with Lori.
Hi, Charlene.
Thank you, Lori. You know what? The food thing. My dog, she died September 6th, and she was my best friend. She was so. Anyway, if I'd have fed her better, she'd still be here today. If I'd taken better care of it, I'm sure of it. Sure of it.
Oh,
and
so sorry.
I am too, and I'm not trying to beat myself up. I just know, because just in learning, she'd had a flea allergy, then her pH went off, she had an ear issue, then she wound up getting diabetes, and her teeth, if they were bit. So anyway, long and short of it was a train wreck at the last few months, you know, the last week I did everything I possibly could, and I'm a really strong energy worker. I'm a really clear, good healer, and I couldn't do it, and it broke my heart.
What was her name?
Belle. So if you could pick up anything on her, I'd be grateful. And the live diet, I learned a lot, food for sure, anyhow.
For sure. I want to share with you what I'm hearing from Belle. Okay, first of all, deep, deep love here, very clear. And she really enjoyed her life, felt very pampered for. It was the end of her contract. It was time for her to go. And it wasn't like you did something wrong. This was part of the contract. And that she's really, as I'm understanding, really enjoying her in-between life. There's an echo in the phone. I don't know where that came from.
Charlene, do you have the show on the radio in the background?
No, I don't, but I do have my computer on, so I'll just shut it off here.
Yeah,
so,
if you wouldn't mind.
And I'm on a VoIP system, so it can do
okay.
That anyhow.
All right, so, but that she really enjoyed her life and just really felt very loved, and so it was her choice to sort of go pretty quickly. You know, sometimes when contracts are up, what the animals do is they will just get very sick very fast. Because it's like they don't want to endure. They don't need to endure. They've done their work. They've had their relationship. They've done their part. They've made their agreement. And they're ready to be done with the body. So they get sick very fast. And they can let go of the body faster this way. And that this is part of your learning and your growth. Because you're going to take this information and really use it for the betterment of other people and animals. That you're going to be using this. So she was effectively a teacher and a healer for you and with you. And that there's great love there. And just, I'm being shown an image of, if I could explain the image that I can see. It's what I see is, it's like this cat in this beautiful, you know that kind of garb that you would imagine Scarlett O'Hara wearing?
Okay. Well,
that
I buried
showing,
her in a blanket, yeah. Okay.
Well, she's showing me this herself as if this is just like this wonderful life, just enjoying the enjoyment of life, not only during her life in this physical body, but even, you know, beyond, even after, in that there's no, and also being shown a beautiful, looks like a Garber daisy, and I don't know if that has some significance to you, Garber daisies?
No.
What they're called, Garber daisies? Well, it's like it's one of the Garber daisies, but it's really more about a blooming. There's a blooming there.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you, Lori.
My pleasure.
You're well. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling,
Charlene.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have one more caller, and this will be the last one we have time for, I'm sure. So next we are going to talk to, is it Brian or Bryn?
That's Bryn.
Hello, Bryn. You're on the air.
Hi, Bryn.
Hey, how you doing there?
Great.
I have a cat named Simba. And he's a tuxedo cat, and there's really nothing wrong with him. I just wanted to know if I'm being a good father to him, and is there anything, you know, he might be needing that I need to catch on to, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you. Mastery. I'm just making some notes because this stuff's coming in very quick. So, Simba, can you tell me where you're located just so I can validate?
Yeah, Arlington, Massachusetts.
Okay, beautiful. So you're connected to this cat, Simba, through other lifetimes, other realities, and he's, of course, a teacher. And he's teaching you about stepping into your mastery, absolutely, and a more polished part of yourself, like a more powerful part of yourself, really your own mastery, and absolutely divine contract to be together, and just lots of love, and is, of course, enjoying his life with you. And, you know, it's so funny to me that a lot of times when I do readings for people who say, well, you know, there's really nothing going on. I just want to make sure I'm doing, you know, a good job as his parent or his guardian. I typically will find that those animal companion people are they're the ones having the best life because they're just checking in. And that's what we need to do more of, really, is constant, even in our own lives, just check in.
Right.
To see how things are, because we typically in the human world we wait until things are bad and then we go, oh, something's wrong. But the checking in are the ones who are having great lives, because why? They're checking in regularly. And I definitely do see that. And a big message that I hear from Simba as I'm understanding it and translating it is for you to really step into the part of you that's a master and that has real gifts and real potential. I'm seeing a lot of number 11. I'm wondering if there's an 11, or at least a 1, but it looks like two side-by-sides of 1s. What is your birthday?
Well, it's July 3rd, 1956.
So 7 and 3 is 10.
7, 8, 9, 10, yeah.
Yeah, so 1956?
Is 3.
What, wait, is that your year, 56?
1956, yeah.
Yeah, so 56 is an 11. So you're remembering... I'm not even doing your whole numbers, but you're remembering your own mastery that you've already had in a lifetime before. Reconnecting with that through your spiritual connection, which is the 7. And through your left brain awareness, which is the 1.
Interesting.
By uniting, the 3 is the body, mind, and spirit. You're uniting the body, mind, and spirit within you.
Right.
This is stuff you already know.
Yeah, but it's good to hear it.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you. So thanks to Simba. Everybody, thank you for thanks for your help.
Beautiful.
All right.
Okay, Bryn, thanks so much for calling.
Yeah,
thank
take
you,
care
Bryn.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, we have successfully talked to everyone who had a question for you, and really, really impressed with the clarity that you. That you can impart, and I think you've really helped a lot of people, and know you will continue to do that.
Well, Ariel, thank you so much. I'm so grateful to you. I know that I just really appreciate, I'm so grateful that I got to be here. I just love this show, and I love what you girls are doing, and I'm a huge fan of the show. I listen all the time. So
that's great.
Really honored to be able to be a guest and to make a contribution here. And thank you so much for allowing me to do so.
Oh, it was our pleasure. And any time that people and animals can form closer partnerships and teach and heal each other, I'm just a huge animal lover myself.
Mm.
And I know that I think just about all starseeds have a certain compassion and closeness and respect. For animals and what they can bring to us. And this might be slightly off the subject, but we got about 2 or 3 minutes here that I'd like to ask you, because I have studied the animal medicine in a Native American sense, philosophies, and like the wild animals that are not necessarily, you know, ours, but they are in our neighborhood, the squirrels and the hawks and whatever. You know, when you see animals in your life, are there messages that even from wild animals that why are you appearing today?
Yeah.
And I have, you know, I didn't see you yesterday. I didn't see you last month. But, you know, so what is the message you bring to me? Certainly there's a way to tap in. To actually read the wild animals' messages as well.
That's right. They have so much information for us. I know that you know this, and that's a brilliant question. I mean, I know that you already know this. And, of course, I mean, the animals, as a species, if you're getting an animal just at your front door, whether it's a squirrel or a bee or a sparrow or a robin, or if you're seeing a hawk in the sky, whatever, those animals have messages. We typically call those animal totems. And a great way to do that is to look up the message that that animal that you're seeing has in general. You know, you can practice it through animal communication and just tune in and say, you know, what would you like to share with me today? Is there anything important that you'd like to let me know? And that's great. But if you don't know what the totem message is of the species, you can look that up and find out. And it's so often that these animals are just source, the universe, the divine speaking mm-hmm. to you through that animal. And I mean, it's just amazing even that you asked that, because I always tune into the animals. Like just yesterday, I went and took a day trip out inland towards Joshua Tree area, and you know, all of a sudden out of nowhere there's this like grasshopper just jumps up. I always know the message of grasshopper. It's a great message, and I'm like, wow, this is so awesome, you know. But every time you see an animal, you can find out what the universe is sharing with you through that animal, either through direct communication or just looking it up. And that's beautiful. Yeah,
really. Yeah, I mean, just their presence bring, because they are the message, you know.
Right.
I was thinking about it. I went through a period of time in about 2 or 3 weeks when I was actually losing count of how many possums I saw on the road that had been killed, and then it stopped. I mean, it was like every day, and 20, 30, and I mean, they're in the area, but it was at a time of my life when it was time for me to stand up and be noticed, you know, as far as working behind the scenes and all that. But it was actually just as the radio show was coming to be and really starting to gain speed. And it was like, you know, it's time to step out and,
That's even the message of roadkill. You could look up the message of roadkill. There's a message in that. I always say, you know, there's messages in everything if we're looking for messages, and if we're willing to pay attention to the messages that are being given to us. And for animal lovers, spiritually minded animal lovers, the animals in our environment are always one of the ways we can receive those messages. And sometimes they come to us in dream states. Sometimes they come to us in meditation. I remember recently I was doing this meditation with one of my teachers, and we were asking for some guidance, and the whole room was going to get the same. We were going to ask a question and get some guidance, and I was asking a question about something I really didn't understand, and I was a blank slate, and I get this image of turkey vulture, which I didn't know what that meant, and so I look it up, and it says, you know, sometimes things are happening that we don't understand the reasons for, but those answers come to us later. And sure enough, that is exactly what ultimately happened. So, you know, when we open up to receiving the messages from animals, and that's exactly what you're saying.
Right.
Know? Yeah.
Right. So you don't have to have a pet in your home to experience the gifts of animals.
Yeah. And also, you know, the animals in the wild, you know, we were talking about elephants earlier and the whales and the dolphins. I mean, whales and dolphins were basically, you know, most animals were really gifts from other planets for us. But all the animals in the wild have different messages and different lessons and teachings for us, and they're all playing different parts. So it's not just our domestic animals, just like you're saying.
Right. So
yeah.
Give thanks and gratitude to the animal kingdom, and thank them for the teaching and the learning and the healing, and it will be presented to you after.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
We just have a minute here, so I want to go back over and give your website addresses so everyone can jot it down in case they missed it earlier.
You want me to say?
Please, go ahead.
Oh, okay. It's Lori. The main website is lorispagna.com, and that's L-O-R-I, S as in Sam, P as in Peter, A-G, N as in Nancy, A.com, lorispagna.com, and that's where they can get the free gifts. that I was referring to before, the classes on animal communication, you know, intro to animal communication, the intro to psychic, your psychic intuitive gifts, and the free Juicy Living ebook. But there's three other websites, too, where they can learn. Those are older websites, but they can definitely learn more about me and what I do there. It's Ethel's God, which just spells dog's life backwards, ethelsgod.com, ethelsgoddogtraining.com, which is where it all began, and then ethelsgodspirit.com, which is probably the most current of those three. And, you know, all three of them, that there's lots of information about, you know, the animals and what they're doing and the work that I do, and for sure there's a lot of great factual information in there.
Well, thank you so much, Lori. It has really been a pleasure to have you with us, and I hope you'll come back again real soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, and thanks to everybody who called in today and who listened. It's just my pleasure.
Well, we'll look forward to having you back, and on behalf of everyone here at Starseed Radio mm-hmm. Academy, we say good night and see you next week. Bye-bye, everyone.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.